Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Please make sure your seatbelt is securely fastened, your tray table is in an upright and locked position, and that you are ready to get weird and think different. Please prepare for takeoff. Okay, today is Wednesday. It is November 3rd. We're back with another episode of Destination Different. It is technically still November 3rd as I record this, but there are just a few, by a few I mean 11 minutes left in the day. I just spent 6 hours on a train that was supposed to take 3 hours, 3.5 hours. The engine broke down. They had to send a backup engine. I don't even know how somebody does that, but they sent a new engine to our train that they then swapped in. It wasn't exactly reassuring when they come over the intercom and say, oh yeah, we're just going to swap out the engine. Not great. So I'm going to keep this intro short and sweet because I'm tired and hangry and ready for bed. We do have an unbelievable guest on this week's show. I was so touched, so honored that this person got back to me and was willing to come on the show and talk about their creativity and their work. So my guest on this week's show, her name is Michelle Sigg, and she is potentially one of the most creative, weird minds I've ever had on this show. She is an art director by day, a regular director, you know, when the mood strikes her, when the time is right. And then she is also the founder, creator, and ceramicist, I think is the word we're using these days. She makes ceramics, and she doesn't make any old ceramics. Her specialty is called a pair of plants. And so what she has been doing is making ceramic pants for your plants. That is correct. Ceramic pants for your plants. Each plant comes in these customized specialty pairs of plants. And they are hilarious. They are adorable. They are perfectly useful for housing plants. And Michelle decided, you know, during quarantine that she wanted to do something. Everything that she does in her kind of day job is in the video space. It's in the, you know, on screens. And she wanted something tactile, something that she could touch. And so after some brainstorming and some ideating, she said to herself, you know what? This is pretty funny. I'm going to start putting pants on plants. And she took a ceramics class, started teaching herself how to do it. And next thing you know, she has now a booming business where she is selling her pants for plants. And so her story is amazing. We talked all about her creativity, you know, some of the directing gigs and some of the art direction that she's done. She's worked with big name celebrities from Lady Gaga to John McEnroe to Chloe Kim to Mallory Puig. There are so many great athletes that she's worked with, so many celebrities that she's worked with as a director and an art director. But she's really turned her attention to her own self and building a business and building her own creativity and her own story through a pair of plants. So this is an unbelievable episode. I'm so excited to share Michelle's story with you today. It's fantastic. I'm not kidding. When we're in audio form right now. You can't exactly picture what a pair of ceramic pants for a plants look like. You will look them up. You will click her Instagram link in this bio, in the description of this episode, and you will want to buy 10 of them. They are one of the funniest things I have ever seen in my entire life. So I hope you enjoy this story. I hope you enjoy this episode with Michelle Sigg, the founder, the creator of A Pair of Plants. I hope you enjoy. Made you decide
to make a cutting board shaped like a penis?
Okay, so that started because I've been an art director for 7 going on 8 years now, and I wanted to pivot to directing. And you know, clients aren't just going to hand you a project and say, hey, you've never directed before, but you can just direct this. So the idea, I had a creative partner at the time, and her and I were like, well, let's develop a fake product and then direct and shoot a fake campaign around it. So that's what we did. So we like quit our job at the time. We developed Cock Block. We sat on the couch for a bit and we just concepted some random ideas. And then that one kind of clicked. And then, you know, we did the whole thing and we directed it, and the plan totally worked because people loved it. And then we got some directing gigs off of that, and then more off of those work, and then more off of that. And then next thing you know, we get hit up for directing work. So that was why Cock Block originated. And people loved the product. People wanted to buy it. So then we sold a select amount. We thought about manufacturing it, but then it just became a whole thing. And we were like, this isn't who we want to be. We don't want to be like the Cock Block founders.
Yeah.
So it just became a portfolio piece in our book and on our reel for our like style and aesthetic and kind of personality. And it still gets talked about in every interview, every job. It's always the thing people talk about. So,
I mean, it is truly like, I shared it with a couple like old coworkers today. Yeah. I'm like, so I'm interviewing this woman today, and this is like, I mean, it's brilliant. Yeah. It is truly like hysterical. But so maybe talk about that a little bit. Like, what made you, you know, you've been an art director. It seems like you've been a creative in general for a long time. What made you want to make that switch from being an art director to actually like directing movies and videos and commercials and things like that?
Yeah, well, so, you know, for those who aren't aware, the art director typically is the one who comes up with the initial idea and the concept and the overall vision. And then you kind of oversee a team of people to make that vision come through. So a lot of times what would happen is I would sell through an idea, and then I would have to select a director, and I would have to, you know, essentially be alongside them to be like, no, it should be like this, or it should be like that. And there was just a moment on set where I was like, why am I not just directing? Why is there like this middleman trying to create my vision, you know what I mean? And it just seemed like a nice gradual next step. I think a lot of things have changed within the landscape of content anyway, where agencies in my eyes are kind of dying, and people are just essentially their own directors now, and their own production companies. You know, you have all these influencers and people who are just creating everything on their channels. So anyway, that was why. It was just like a gradual next step. And I'd been doing art direction for a while, and I was ready to sort of graduate. And so now I will do the art direction. And then I will also do the production of it and direct it, which is great. And sometimes I'll do one of those and the other, and sometimes I'll just direct. It just depends what part of the process. But
got it. And is that, do you find now that there's one that you are gravitating towards more, that you're enjoying more?
Yeah, for sure. I honestly am a bit, hopefully my job doesn't listen to this, I'm a bit checked out of art direction at the moment because it just doesn't hold my attention. And the beauty of directing is like it naturally incorporates art direction, or because I've developed a bit of an aesthetic, people can come to me for that aesthetic, which is great. But yeah, now when I just do art direction, just feels so like little, which is weird because it is a very big part of the campaign, but yeah, I like control.
fair. And you in your directing work have got to work with some like amazing people, athletes, celebrities. Like, how has that been like? And, you know, and just in looking at your reel in general, you've worked with Lady Gaga, you've worked with John McEnroe, you've worked with like Mallory Puig, like Chloe Kim. Like, you have like a really interesting eclectic mix of people. What is it like working with talent like that?
It's cool. It's interesting because, you know, you basically are like best friends with this talent for the length of the shoot, and then that's it, you know? So, but yeah, it's good. I mean, I think there's something really interesting about, you know, you see these people on TV or built wherever it is, and then you actually get to know them, and like, they're just people. They're just cool people. You know, some are the, like McEnroe, for example, he is there to do his job. You tell him what to do, he's in, he's out. Don't go over the time, whatever. And everybody just kind of varies. But yeah, a lot of the work in the portfolio, it's a mix of art direction and direction. So like the macro stuff was just art direction. I didn't direct that work. The Nike work, I did direct that with those two athletes. I'm trying to like go through my book right now, but yeah, so it just kind of varies, but yeah, it's good. I mean, I think Lady Gaga was my first like big like person that I worked with, and that was like my early years of art direction. And she was such an inspiration to me because I remember she walked into this room that was like full of men. It was like me as like a junior art director, and then like my boss and all of these production grip guys. And I just remember like witnessing her walk into the room, and it was just like everybody froze. Like she just commanded the space, and she went in front of camera and she did her weird thing, and it was really inspiring. And I was like, that's cool. She's like a female that just like runs the room, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Okay. And when you think back, maybe even further than like your start of your, you know, career as an art director, like were you always artistic as a kid, or, you know, creating stuff growing up? Like how did this interest in the arts, I guess, if you will, get going?
Yeah, for sure. In high school, I was the art kid for sure. I was in the advanced art class, and I just was always an artist. I was like, that's how I made my money in high school. I was selling self-portraits and doing random like murals on people's walls and stuff like that. I wanted to go to art school. That was the intention. And my dad was like, no, I'm not going to pay for you to be an artist. If you want to be an artist, you can do it on your own on the side. And I was like, meh. So I ended up going to University of Missouri, and I studied strategic communications for like 2 years. I was failing.
It was not it.
I'm not even going to try to like pretend to be somebody I'm not, but like college was not for me. And I'm like a smart person. I can't do like reading comprehension and writing is like my weak point. And that's like all college is. And yeah. I was like, I can't do this. I can't, my brain doesn't work that way. So yeah, I did 2 years. And I think like at the leading into my, what is your third year? Junior year.
Yeah.
Leading to my third year, kind of had an honest conversation, and I was like full of anxiety, and I was like miserable, and I was like, Dad, I don't want to be here, you know? And my sister was like, she's 4 years older. She's like, hey, why don't you go to this school, and why don't you be an art director? And I didn't even know what an art director was at the time, but I was like, it had art in the name. And I was like, okay, you know? And I ended up dropping out. I applied to the school. So it was like 2 weeks before I could get into the school. So I had applied to the school. They needed like 16 projects, essentially. I'd done all this work, applied to the school, got accepted, dropped out of Mizzou, sold my car, subletted my place, and moved out to California in like 2 weeks. I was just like, let's go.
Yeah.
And then studied art direction at a school called Miami Ad School. And that was a 2-year school. Then I just went from there.
Got it. Okay. So you always had that like artistic element to you. It is maybe, I don't know if it's foreshadowing or not, that your dad was like, if you want to do this in your free time, you can, because clearly now you are doing some art in your free time.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing a lot of self-reflecting, and I was talking to my therapist last night. I'm like, you know, it's funny how everything goes full circle. No matter how far you try to go from yourself, you always end up like back to who you are, you know, like some route, it'll be a different route, but you still end up. And I find it funny that here I am like becoming this successful artist. And I'm like, huh, you like that, Dad? But he loves it. Of course he loves it. So it's funny.
It is it's a seemingly full circle moment. So tell me, okay, obviously, you know, I think where you have started to move now is into this pair of plants, which is again, another just hilarious, brilliant concept. How did that get going? Seemingly was like a COVID project. Like, you know, even on your website, you allude to like, you know, you're sitting in your sweatpants all the time. You know, people aren't necessarily dressing up as much. And so how did that come to be?
Okay. So I work full time as an art director, and I'm one of those people that like, if I'm not creating, I get very like, I contemplate everything in my life, and I'm like, what am I doing with my life? And I get in a bad place. And so things were slow, and I was like, what is essentially my next cock block? You know, what is that next project, that fun project I can do? So similar to cock block, I spent a couple days concepting and trying to decide. I knew I wanted to do ceramics just because there was a studio close, and I don't know. That's just what I decided. I was like, that seems like a nice tactile thing. And step.
Had you ever done ceramics before?
No, I did. I did like a class in high school for whatever it was, a quarter semester, however long classes went. In high school, it was just like beginners, but no, not really. That was kind of it. But I knew I was good at building things. I had done other, like I built characters. I don't know. I could sculpt.
You could figure, yeah, you knew you could figure it out something.
Yeah. And so yeah, I just spent a couple of days trying to concept similar to how I always do. And I knew I wanted to do something with butts. And I think I even said to my boyfriend, I was like, what if I just like sculpt a bunch of butts and I call it mostly butt stuff? And he was like, yeah, I feel like there's a bigger idea to that, you know? And then I was talking to a friend, you know, I had it on my mind in every conversation I was having for like a couple days, you know, I was always just like trying to wait for something to like spark what the idea was. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with my friend and I was like, yeah, I think I want to do like something with butts, like maybe carve butts for these pots or something. And she's like, oh, that's so funny, because I was just about to make a rug that is a pair of pants. And I was like, oh, that's funny. I could make a pant pot and then we could sell it as a kit type of, we were talking some other stuff. And I was like, that's funny, like a pair of plants. And she's like, and like, she didn't really react to it much. And I was like, huh, yeah, that'd be cute. Like a pair of jeans. So then I sat with it for a little longer. Then I, you know, I tossed the idea to a few people, put feelers out. And then I said it out loud and I was like, oh my God, to my boyfriend, I was like, what if I do all pants, all different styles, and I call it pair of plants, and it can be like just retro vintage styles. And he was like, huh, that's pretty funny. And I was like, that's pretty funny. That's good.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think part of the reason it clicked is because there's already this like undertone joke and culture of plants wearing pants. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it just made sense and it excited me. And then I literally said to my boyfriend, once I decided that was the idea, I said, uh-oh, all right, well, here we go. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, you're about to see. Because once I have an idea and a vision, I'm just like, got it, you know? So so yeah, that's what happened. And then I signed up for a beginner's hand building class at a studio nearby, which was a month long. And then by like class two, I was already making pants. She had shown me enough to like, I could make my way around the studio. And it was funny because it was a group of like, maybe like 10 students. And she went around and she's like, what is it you guys each want to make? Or what do you want to get out of this class? It was like the second class. And I was like, oh, I really want to make pants. And she was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I was like, and she's like, what for? And I was like, for plants. And the whole class just started laughing. I was like, I would like to make pants for plants. That is why I'm here. And everybody thought it was hilarious. I didn't know any of these people.
Right.
And then, yeah, that was it. Now I'm the pants girl in the studio and I constantly have pants everywhere.
That is like, did you,
it's so goofy.
Who are the types of people that are even like in this ceramics class is maybe my first, like, are you in there with, is it like all like young people your age or is it like, you know, retired elderly women that are like looking for something new?
Yeah, it's both. I mean, there's mothers in there. There's just, you know, some random guys in there. There's a few girls that were my age that I became friends with. It was just kind of all over, whoever was interested in learning pottery, you know? But yeah, and then it just became a thing. And then I started putting them out there and putting on Instagram, and the reactions I was getting were like, oh my God, I love this. And then I think when the idea really, really took off was when people started bringing their own ideas to the brand. So it's like every time I posted a pant, someone would be like, oh my God, can you make scrubs for my mother who's a doctor? Could you make, you know, Harry's fine line pants? Could you make this, that? And like all these, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm just doing all pants now. But then I saw this like giant opportunity of like, oh my God, there's so many plays on pulp culture for these that I could do, like making pants from like celebrity moments and like, you know, so then I was just like, oh wait, this could be pretty big.
What was like the first pair of pants that you were like, okay, I gotta go and I gotta make these. Like, what was the first one that you made?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you mean the first one that like really like people love that I was like, oh, this is going to be a thing.
Even just from your, like, I know you said like, okay, maybe I just want to make a pair of blue jeans to start. Like, did you have one that you were like, that's the first one that I got to do?
Yeah. I made just like traditional pair of blue jeans. My initial thought was everything was going to be like 90s inspired. So I had a lot of like bejewels and like studs and all that stuff. But I remember pulling my first successful pant out of the kiln, and it was a little pair of like black, like punk style cargos. And I pulled them out and I was like, this is so cool. And I think my first reaction was like what I always hear from everybody, which is like, oh my God, I'm obsessed. This is so cute. Oh my God. And it was like, what I do for a living is so like video and digital and like nothing really tactile. Mm-hmm. So it was so rewarding to build a creation that is, I have some here, that is like physical, and they're heavy and they're good quality. And I was like, this is so cool. And they're, you know, there's a use for them. So yeah, the punk pair that came out was the first successful one. And I was like, wait, these are awesome.
And was there a moment or a switch that flipped where you went from like, okay, there's something here and people are maybe reacting positively to them, to like, oh shit, like I can make money. This is like a business. This is something that I can actually, you know, really make something out of.
Yeah. I mean, there's two pants that really like took off and went viral, small viral, but like that really made a mark that people were obsessing over. And it was the Juicy sweatpants and then the Hairy Fine Line pants. So those two pants really like put me more on the map, for lack of better words, or like brought in a whole group of people that just like love them, you know. Mm-hmm. And the demand for those things is like very high, and the amount that I can make is very low. So I was like, okay, because originally I was going to pursue this as an artist, you know, like these are individual pieces of art, people can pay for them. But I just as I get deeper and deeper into it, I'm like, oh no, I think this is a business. Like I got to turn this into like, I got to manufacture these and pump them out. Cause I get companies reaching out that want to buy wholesale. And I'm like, I can't, like, I don't have that yet. So it's pushed me in that direction. So I'm working on molds and stuff right now to pump more out at a lower price, but I still want to do original pieces and commissions on the side.
Got it. Okay. Like, I mean, it probably has even changed since you started, but like, what are you, how did you set like the price for these as you were starting to build them, and think about that as like, these are, you know, individual pieces of art. They're one of one in a lot of cases.
Yeah. I mean, so to be honest, I think a lot of people think the price point is about them, and like, because they just assume everybody wants to sell their product, but like, I'm a little bit quicker now, but these take me a lot of time to build. And there was just a number where I was like, it is not worth my time or effort or stress if it is less than this number. You know, and keep in mind, I have a full-time job. So it's not like I can do this all of the time. And obviously you raise the number and it will affect the flow of orders. And so that was also part of the reason. It's like, I don't have time. If I sold these for $100 each, I would be so stressed out. I would be overwhelmed, and people would be unhappy, honestly, because I can't fulfill that amount. So, I have a high price point, and I do consider them individual pieces of art. I think people get tripped up because they are also functional. So they're just like, why is a pot, you know, $250 if it's just a pot for plants? It's like, no, it's art first, but you can also put your plants in it, you know, if you want. I wasn't tied to selling these, honestly. It was an outlet. So I priced them high because I didn't really want to make them for other people. And then it just backfired.
kept going.
Yeah.
So. What is, you don't have to reveal all of your secrets, but like, what is the process like of building these out? And, you know, it's obviously not just like throwing clay on a wheel and like spinning a standard pot. So like, how are you building these?
So because they sort of obviously stand up, it's usually like a 2, sometimes 3 day process, because the process is pretty stop and go. So what I tend to do is I'll do the initial build on the first day, which is essentially just the legs. And then I let it dry overnight, and then I come back the second day when it's a little bit hardened, and I apply, say, the pockets or the loops or all that stuff once the structure is in place. And then I let that harden even more. And then sort of day three or four, depending on the strength of the clay, I kind of go in and I start like carving and finessing the lines. So it's, I'm always working on like essentially like three pants at a time, but they're all staggered in that process.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And then you, fire it. It's like a 24-hour fire. So you put it in the kiln, becomes bisque ware. Then you glaze it. You put it back in the kiln, another 24 hours. So yeah, it's a long process. The whole, and then all the details afterwards that I do, it ends up being about 2 weeks per pant. Stop and go. Yeah. But I'm also at a community pottery studio. So I'm a little bit at the, you know, everybody's putting stuff in the kiln. It's not like I have my own kiln I can run and all that stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a lot, which is why I'm like, if people even knew how long these take to make and how much it takes to make one, literally 250 is, I'm still, it's nothing. I'm telling you, it's nothing. It's crazy. The hours I'm putting into these.
So, yeah. And are you just doing this like at nights, on weekends, in the morning? Like, when are you finding time to sleep or?
Yeah. My boyfriend's like, you're emotionally unavailable. And I'm like, yes, I am. I got to go. Bye. Yeah, depending on work, if I'm on a project, I pretty much am in the studio every evening. Sometimes work is like a bit chill and I'm not on a project, so I can kind of sneak to the studio during the day and get some stuff done. But yeah, I really just manage my time, and I'm months ahead with pair of plants because that's how long it takes to like make a batch. Meaning like, you know, I'm looking at my work schedule in December, like last month. So I knew I needed to make a bunch of pants this month because November I'm going to be busy. You know what I mean? So like just managing my time and schedule and not overwhelming myself. And yeah.
This is maybe a dumb question. Are they all sort of somebody saying, hey, I want a pair of pink juicy sweatpants, and that's what you go and you make? Or is it like, I'm going to make these 10 pairs of pants and you drop them, and if people want them, they can.
Yeah. So both. So, originally I was like, I have all these pants. I'm just going to drop them all at once. I did the whole campaign around it and the commercial and all that stuff. And the products were made for the commercial. Like that is why I made the products, you know, but people love them and people love the commercial, and just like Cockbuck, people wanted to buy the products. And so then I put all of those products that I made for the commercial that were essentially props, not props, but you know, out for sale at a high price point, and people bought them. And then people brought their own ideas. And then I opened for customs just to see what people would do if they could make their own. And so many fun, creative ideas came my way that were great because it challenges me and it's things I would never think to do. Like I had a woman who was like, can you make a New Mexico pair of plants, like a New Mexico themed pair of plants? And I was like, I would never think to do that. And I was like, sure, let me see what, you know, I think that would look like. So the commissions are good for that reason, because people bring some ideas that you'd never do. They're bad in a sense that there's so many variables to pottery and things that can mess up that like, and it happened recently, thank God this girl was so patient, but like I had a glaze mess up and it messed up the pants. And so here I was at the very end, bad mess up. I had to go like basically 2-3 weeks back in time. So it's just like not something you can just take an eraser to and fix. Like if you make a mess up or the build goes wrong or it cracks in the kiln or all of those uncertainties that just happens with pottery, it's like very stressful because I get very delayed, you know? So yeah, I usually just do a certain amount of commission slots. Like I'll open for 5 slots, you know, just to manage the flow.
Got it. And so like you have coming up now in mid, late November, like a drop coming. So what is sort of included in that drop? Also separately, I don't know if there's something in the idea of pant drops, but there's something very funny.
It's called I call it a panty drop.
Okay. I was hoping so, cause that is fantastic as well.
Yeah. My November 3rd panty drop. I'm going to have a bit of like a small celebrity collection in it, which is a lot of merch pants from certain artists and musicians. I think I have Lil Nas's Montero pants from his VMA performance. some Miley merch pants. These are about to be Justin Bieber's. I got to finish them. And who else do I have? Oh, Phoebe Bridgers. Got hers. So there's those. And then I have some traditional styles that were just really popular that people liked that I sort of have remade. Nothing's ever the same, but similar styles. And then hopefully, I'm working on the molds now. I have maybe 5 Harry Styles pants that people can buy. And I have one surprise pant, which I did this with the last drop as well, that I always save for the very end, that I surprise people with, that I think will be pretty epic if it turns out. So we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always got like one hero pant.
Like the bonus pair of pants at the end.
Basically the most expensive one of the batch, but yes.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I did see you've had a couple now of like celebs actually show these off, like that I don't know if they've reached out directly to you or sort of just like stumbled across them, but how has that gone?
Yeah, I mean, that is so weird to me. The Demi Lovato thing was so wild to me because I'm like, oh no, in a way you think these people are so inaccessible, but like I have such a love hate for TikTok because it does so much for small businesses and for people to get an audience and, you know, views on their product. So she had seen they had seen the pants on TikTok and they loved them, and they were talking with their assistant apparently in the office about like how they wanted a pair and wanted her to get them. Obviously I didn't know about all that, but I got an email one day and it was like, need products ASAP. I was like, okay.
Sure. Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Sure. But I don't really have any, but okay. So, and it was just like the email was from the assistant was like, I am the assistant to a high level celebrity talent or whatever. We saw your pants on TikTok. They need a pair of the Juicy Couture sweatpants. Do you have them and how much? Something like that. And thankfully I did have one. And so I was like, I've got one. And like, I'm so like LA jaded that I was like, oh yeah. Do you like assist a high profile celebrity or do you just like want them for yourself? You know, like whatever. So I didn't think much of it, but I was quick to send the link and the price point and everything else. And they bought them pretty much immediately. And then I had a pop-up that weekend and I said, you know, are you LA based? I said, yes. And I was like, you can pick them up at the pop-up if that's okay with you. And she's like, totally. So the assistant comes. She picks up the pants and I wrapped them up for her. And I said, so can I ask, like, who do you assist? And she's like, oh, you know, I can't say, but they may post them. And I was like, huh, okay, well, we'll tell them thank you for the purchase and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there with my boyfriend and we went like totally Instagram stalking and we were like, looked up the assistant's name. And I was like, who could she, you know, and I'm like looking through her followers and who's following her. And Demi Lovato was one of them. And so was JoJo and a few other people. And I was like, no, it can't be them. Like they're too big, you know? So I just like brush it off. And then we were like interrupted in the stalking by this man who came to the table. He was like, oh, are you the only one that makes these? And I was like, oh, hi. Yeah. I'm like hiding my phone. I'm like, yeah, I think so. And he's like, oh, I manage Demi Lovato. And they were talking with their assistant the other day in the office. And I know they really wanted one. And I was like, oh, I'll call her Molly. Yeah. Molly.
Yeah.
She came this morning. And I was like, we were just trying to figure out who they assist, you know? And he's like, yeah, it's Demi Lovato. She really loved them, this and that. And I was like, huh. So then he leaves. I like turned to my boyfriend. I'm like, there's no way Demi Lovato would post these. Yeah. There's no way. She's got 150, like so many. There's no way. And then like 3 days later, they're on her story. And then she does a hard post. And I was like, oh, what? But there was no tag. And I was like,
come on.
So close. But I still get to say that Demi Lovato bought my pants, which is great. And
that's pretty unbelievable.
Awesome that they did that. So it's great.
That is unreal. So is that, I mean, it's hard to say that that's part of the strategy going forward, but you know, you do have some celebrity content in this next drop. Like, are you thinking that that will be more styled and like avenue that you keep taking? I mean, not, you know, obviously with the hope that somebody sometimes will maybe want them for themselves, but.
Sure. Yeah. I think, you know, I think in this whole venture, I've learned that people actually have some pretty sentimental value to certain pants in their life. And I think that like, it's a way of, I don't know, what's the word? Immortalizing? Is that the right word? Whatever.
Yeah. Like, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Freezing something.
Yeah.
And I think there's just an opportunity for like a lot of, I think more so musical artists. I mean, it depends, some, you know, some of these costumes and stuff for award shows are pretty immaculate too, but mm-hmm. That you can kind of like freeze those pants in a forever thing in your home. And I think that's something cool that celebrities and musicians and people would like, and it seems to be something they like. So yeah, I think I'm just always on the lookout for pants within pop culture that are trending, for lack of better words, or people recognize mm-hmm. that I can make. And if one of those celebrities or people reach out and they're like, oh my God, I love those, I want them, for sure they get them. So yeah, just depends. I mean, Bretman Rock was the other big one, and I have essentially become his pant dealer now because he's already placed another order. And you know, he just is like, I want these pants that I wore to this fashion show, which of course they're always crazy pants. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, let me
I can do that.
But yeah, and I think there's like sentimental value to them. My dad ordered a pair. He's like, he loves old Westerns, so he wanted a John Wayne one. And he loves them because of the like meaning behind them too, you know? And I think everybody has some sort of meaning to some sort of pants in their life that they didn't realize, honestly.
Is there a pair of pants in your life that you're like, I gotta keep these forever?
Oh, that's interesting. I've actually never thought about that. Let me think. The thing is I have pants that I love, but there's nothing like snazzy about them. Like, they're just black jeans or they're green jeans, you know, whatever. Interesting. I don't know. But I do know that like, there's definitely like a style of pant that I would make, you know, that is that I'm capable of making. I think that's the thing, is like there's a pant for everybody out there and a style that people relate to, whether it's like someone who is a soccery ref on the weekends to a fashionista, mm-hmm. on, you know, someone else. So there's a pant for everybody, you know?
It is fascinating. Do you have any interest or appetite in like expanding beyond pants? Have you started thinking about that at all?
I do. And I kind of already know my next step. It's just so tough to do it all. Yeah. Like I have like a queue literally in my head of next steps and places and things I want to do and make for this business that I just like physically can't get to. So it's like a queue of like a month long that, you know, like I'm hoping this next addition to the business will happen maybe in December, but more likely in the new year. Just because I need to get a few supplies and things to like build this extension. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've thought about doing t-shirts as well, just because I think there's so much play in that as well. Like even if you, same with like artist merch, right? Like you can put my boyfriend's a musician and I always like use his band as an example, but like just putting their artist name on a t-shirt that is for plants, I think people would love, you know, then it's tailored to everybody. Who's your favorite artist and this and that. But ideally I do that the proper way and I collaborate with these people, not just take their identity, because I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But that would be ideal, is collaborating with more artists and people to do collections or series for them.
Got it. Do you have visions or like desire to do this as something full time? Like, is this somewhere you'd want to take that, where this is like a full-time operation, you're doing it from sun up to sun down, you're hiring a team? Like, is that of interest to you at all?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, the ideal world for most people, or maybe just me, is to work for yourself. And I think like the beauty of this brand that I'm creating is it actually can encompass and allow me to do everything I love under one brand, which is I can still direct commercials for this brand. I can still art direct for this brand. I can still use all of my skills for this like brand that I'm creating. And that was like a really cool moment because I was like, okay, I can have it all. You know, you see me with all these different career paths right now because I haven't found something that has it all in one. And I'm hoping that this one can encompass all of those and frankly, give me a reason to leave the industry and just pursue it. Mm-hmm. But I know that takes time and we'll see what happens.
As it, I always like to ask artists this, especially ones that have like, you know, started making money off of their art. Has it becoming more of a business taken some of the like initial joy and love out of it of like, oh, I just want to go to the studio and make pants. I want something tactile that I can go and make. And this is my idea. Like, has it ruined it at all for you? Or do you still love it just as much as you did at the start?
Yeah, it's so it's funny because everybody assumes that I'm like making money, but the reality is your first year or two, it's like all of that money goes back into just building the infrastructure of the company. So even just all the legal fees and all the things I've forked out this year just to get this thing in LLC and trademarked and the attorneys and just like all that stuff, accountants. And that stuff I like hate. Like, I wish I could just create, like, I wish so bad I had like a business partner that was like handling the business side of stuff, you know, and I was just doing all the creative. Maybe one day.
Maybe after this episode airs, some business partner will appear.
Someone will reach out. But no, I mean, the thing I'll say is the demand for the pants and the way I'm currently working and running the business is not sustainable. For sure, which is I am building every pant and I am exhausted doing so. And candidly, the payout for that is not good. Like for basically making 30 pants over the course of a month and then what I get for that month is like so bad when you look at it that way. Mm-hmm. So I have to turn it into a business, I believe, to make it profitable. So making molds and being able to make more of these faster. And I think once I've unlocked and figured out that method, I think it will really get big and grow because then I can put them in stores and I can, you know, hopefully take it to another level.
Mm-hmm. I do have to introduce you at some point. I've had somebody else on the podcast who his Instagram account is called Butts on Things. He now has like a puzzle that's in Kohl's. He's got stickers. He's got like, but it's a very similar thing where he started it as a, I think it was like an Inktober thing where he was just like, I'm just going to do a butt every Friday or something. And now he has like this whole business line that is exclusively butts.
Butts on Things?
Yeah. Butts on Things, I believe is his.
Brian Cook?
Brian Cook Art. Yep.
Oh, he's private. Why is he private? Oh, Brian Cook Art for, oh, I see. Here we go. Oh, nice. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So now it's in stores.
Yeah. So he's like put it on all kinds of stickers and lanyards and t-shirts and he's like, it's super goofy, but is very funny.
Yeah.
Maybe like as you talk about like wanting to be able to own the directing part of things, of still like making commercials for your brand. I'm so curious for you, like, you know, going and making cock blocks or going and making the sort of like product porn for, you know, for this, like, how do you, obviously you're like well-connected in the industry, it seems, but like, how are you going out and like funding these things or like finding people to help you out with these things? Like, how do you actually like logistically pull those great videos together?
That's a great question. I mean, so that's the thing, right? Is like for a pair of plants, I had basically invested some money into the initial video productions with the intention of making that money back. So I think that's why people don't see that like every dollar I make is just going back into the business. I have, obviously I've been in the industry for a bit. So I have a lot of good friends and talented people that I can call on for passion projects that are also down for passion projects. And luckily, similar with Cockblock, we had a lot of people volunteer their time, but we paid for all of the equipment. So it's initial investments that is a risk or just money that I eat, for lack of better words. But you know, they're low budget projects. I mean, the girl that was in Pair of Plants is a friend of mine and she's an actress. The DP I brought in is a friend of mine, and she gave me a super sweet deal. And then we got discounts from the camera rental company, and the colorist was like a friend of mine that I work with actually at my current company, who, editor, who was like, oh, just like make me a pair of plants. And that was payment for a lot of people's help too, was like making a pair of plants. So you find a way, but candidly, it is a bit of an investment and a risk of hoping that you pay it back. But sometimes it's just fun to make stuff with your own money because you have that control. Mm-hmm. And so far, every time I have, it has paid off for sure.
Yeah.
So, and it was important for me to make that commercial too, because I wanted to establish the brand aesthetic and I wanted to establish the sort of strategy behind it and thinking. And so much of, you know, businesses, part of it is the product, but part of it is how it's positioned and marketed. You know, mm-hmm. is it a cool product, period?
Yeah.
And I know that from all of my art direction, upbringing, the ad world and all that stuff. So I needed to do that, you know.
Do you have thoughts or ideas around like what the next pair of plants commercial or video would be? Like, is there something in the hopper for what's next?
It's thoughts and ideas in my head for it, but no like physical motion on it. But I've been thinking about it quite a bit. I was thinking about shooting some content for this backdrop, but it's just too much. I'm exhausted. I'm not going to do that. I might do some even lower budget, like content making, just shot on my phone. Also going back to like budget and money. So as I mentioned, my boyfriend's a musician and he has a bunch of musician friends. And so they all created the music for all of the spots, you know, so, which is a huge money saver. I mean,
yeah.
So I thought about taking a few of these pants and developing some more product porn with different songs and tracks that my boyfriend can make just for fun. But I'm a little bit tight on space, which is my biggest issue with the company right now. So I'm looking at growing and getting a space. It's just California is so expensive, mm-hmm. and I can't really afford any of it. So we'll
see.
And
when you say you're like limited on space, are you literally being like overtaken by pants in your apartment? Like, is that the issue or?
Yeah. Like my poor boyfriend. I mean, I've got like, this is the like headquarters. I've got my, mm-hmm. all of my, I don't know, crafts for lack of better words over here. This desk is where I like make the pants. I'm in my living room. And then all of my like shipping stuff is in the kitchen, and all of the pants that I've made are on a bookshelf in the kitchen. And, you know, I've got like boxes and bubble wrap just like hanging out on the kitchen table for shipping. And I need a place. I got my label maker right here for shipping. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff. And yeah, we're crammed in here. It's a one bedroom apartment and I'm running a small business out of it. So it's not great.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Literally being invasion of the pants. All right. I just have a couple other like rapid fire questions for you here to finish up. If you could make a pair of plants for anyone alive or dead, who are you making a pair of plants for?
Oh, interesting. That's a great question. So I made a pair of Miley merch pants. I like love Miley Cyrus, like low key, like people hearing this are gonna be like, what? But I actually like kind of like really love that girl. And she's also always been a big like supporter and fan of the arts in general throughout her like visuals and all that stuff. And I think she would just love them. I really think she would love them. So it'd be cool to make her a pair. I also think Tierra Whack would come up with a crazy cool custom idea. I'm trying to think who else. I don't know. I mean, just anybody I respect in the music or celeb world with a point of view on fashion is, I think, really cool, you know? Okay. So, yeah.
All right. You actually are probably the first person I've ever talked to that has experience in building an out-of-home ad, but... If you were to have a out of home billboard in Times Square for a pair of plants, what would you put on it?
That's funny. It would be a very similar like visual to the hero frame of my commercial, which would be just a big display of all the pants. and maybe an 80s style like infomercial type woman, and there's just a line above it that's like, pair of plants, finally the pants your plants deserve, and that's it.
I like that. And then my last question, so I end every episode here with the sign off of stay weird. So Michelle, what makes you weird?
I mean, I make, every time I tell people I'm a ceramicist, they're just like, assume I make pots and bowls and stuff. And especially with all of these legal calls, you know, and like trademark and all that stuff, I have to tell them what it is I'm trademarking. And every time I say, oh, I make pants for plants, they're pots, I just sound so weird and so dumb, and I'm so embarrassed, and I'm just like, no, no, you have to see them. I'm always like, please just look at them. You'll get it. Just look at them. And so same with when I meet new people, I'm just like, I make pants for plants. Like I always kind of like stutter when I say it. So, I think it's a weird idea. It's very niche, and, you know, it takes a certain brain to come up with something like that and actually execute them. And it's weird. And sometimes I think it's funny. I'm like, is this who I'm supposed to be? The pants girl? Is this like literally what I do with my life? You know, that's fucking weird. We'll see.
That's it. That's all. That's a wrap on this week's episode of Destination Different. We all need a pair of plants for our homes. We all need them. They're just amazing. I know Michelle is grinding these out. They take, it's just such a long process getting to making one of these. And it just feels like the whole world deserves to have them because they are so funny. They are so just awesome. And I hope that, you know, people listening to this can help support her and keep this thing going, because it really is a special, special little niche that she's carved out in her corner of the internet. So thank you to Michelle. We'll make sure we get her linked up in the description, but it's pretty straightforward. Instagram, TikTok, website are all a pair of plants, either on the at or .com. And so make sure you go and check that out. That's all we got for this week. Awesome episode. I just thought that was fantastic. We're going to keep these interviews rolling. I got a couple coming up in the next few weeks that I'm very, very excited about. So we're going to keep this thing going strong through the end of 2022. If you're not already, I've given this plug a few times now, but I'm trying to learn TikTok. I don't know if I'm very good at it. As a matter of fact, I know I'm not good at it, but I'm trying, and I'm making a fool of myself over there. So if you're not already following at Destination Different over on TikTok, you really should be. And this last week, I launched destinationdifferent.co, a website. If you remember, one of the goals 2021 was to launch a website for Destination Different, and we finally got one up and running. It's a thing of beauty. I mean, it's not perfect, but it does the job. And so, you know, if you want to go pop over there, read a little bit more about how the podcast started, what we got going on with this, just a nice little thing to check out. So I'll make sure I get that linked up this week too, because that is brand spanking new. That's all we got. We'll be back again next week, next Wednesday, with another episode of Destination Different. Until then, stay weird.
Superpowers. We fell in love for just a couple hours. I can't tell the difference between what's fake and what's been missing. Often I'm misunderstood, so I'm looking for a better me. This is your love song, baby. I hope that you know the words. This is your love song, baby. Know what you were. Oh, 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 oh. We should take